Greetings from Bishop Aubrey Shines and G2G Ministries in Tampa, Florida. We pray that you would be blessed and encouraged by the biblical message you are about to hear. Today's classic sermon from Bishop Shines continues the series Fundamental Doctrines with reference scripture Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 in the Amplified Classic and King James translations.
All right, we got to go into the Word of the Lord. I want you to take a moment, if you don't mind, look up at the screen. We're going to read this together. And as soon as we have done so, we're going to go to another passage of Scripture as well. And I'll share that with you here in just a moment. But I want to make sure that all of us are reading from the same thing. The reason that I've taken time to make sure that we've had all these weeks in these basic doctrines is for one reason, and that is that we could all grow up together. The Scripture here says something very, very important, and it's very simple. That when you are immature, you don't know these things. I'm concerned as a shepherd that in the western part of this hemisphere, this what we call the west part of this globe, Christians are not growing spiritually. We're doing church, and I shared this in the first service, a lot of churches are building their numbers on entertaining believers. They have entertainment things for the young people, but the young people don't have a fire for the Lord, but they have some good plays and some good theatrics, and a lot of rock and roll bands, and a lot of churches are doing contemporary music things right in the sanctuary. It's a little weird, but there you go. And numbers are growing, but can you follow me? How many would rather your physical body to grow in muscle versus just get big and look like it's in shape? Anybody can swell, but it takes a healthy body to be lean and like a fighting machine. I don't know about you, but we're in a war, and I'd rather be in a war with people that understand battle, that can't run, I'm speaking spiritually, can't run 10 miles spiritually, but boy, they look like they can run 100 miles. We got to change our attitude, and this is the reason I'm taking my time to do the things that we're doing. So when our young people are in the back, I'm going to say some things to you today that is going to challenge you. I'm going to say some things that's probably going to make some of you very uncomfortable as well, but you're going to see it in the Word. How many want your prayers answered? I mean, come on, you pray. How many pray to the Lord for your prayers to be answered? I'm going to show you why so many of your prayers are not being answered. It's right in the Scripture, and it's going to be a tough pill for some of you to swallow, but it's good for you if you swallow it. And just take the medicine and let it do what it's going to do in you. We're glad to have Brother Julian back on horn from the Middle East and from the West. Let's pray for Julian as well. Would you point your hands this way to Brother Julian? He's got to leave to go to London or somewhere in another couple days. Say this with me. Say, Julian, I believe with you that favor is upon you and favor will stay with you and you will succeed. And close these final doors, say in Jesus' name. If you believe it, put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on, let's go in the Word of the Lord together. Read along with Pastor, beginning at verse number 1 and verse number 2. Let's read. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily toward the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, which is dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. Look at verse 2. With teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. Why? These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware. How long? Long, long ago. Grab someone by the hand, please. Don't take your seat. Look at her or him eyeball to eyeball, please. And please repeat these words with me. Tell them, as a Christ follower, you and I are required to have works that we will bring before God. If your works are burned up, you have nothing. But if your works succeed, you'll be rewarded for doing God's will. Y'all sound really good. Be seated, please. Hey, Jerome, glad each of you all are here. Hey, let's go into the Word. I want to take you to the next verse in Scripture. We're going to look at it in the King James Version, and then we're going to go over the Message translation as well. The media already has it up. It's St. John, the 4th chapter, beginning there at verse number 36, just a couple verses that we're going to read. Then we're going to, again, we're going to switch over then to the Message translation. So we're going to look at 36 through verse number 38. Pay attention, and we're going to go through this. Jesus said unto them, And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. It'll make sense in a moment. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may do what? Rejoice where? Okay, just making sure you're there. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you, everyone put your hand on your heart, say Jesus is talking to me right now. Look at what it says again in verse 37. And here it is saying true, one soweth, one reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Same verse, go over to the Message translation. I think it's really going to help you bring some clarity here. Look at verse 36 in the Message as well. Look at how it reads. The harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in his grain that's ripe for eternal life. Let me just pause. Keep the scripture up. Remember, every believer must have works to bring before the Lord. Remember the scripture I gave you a few weeks ago? That the scriptures declare that every one of us is going to stand before Christ on the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, would you become a full-time evangelist for about 10 seconds? Grab someone by the hand and tell them one day you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to have to answer about the work you've done for him. Man, that's you all sounding good. Now, watch this. So Jesus is giving you and I an insight as to the type of work that we must do. And I want to say this to you as I did in the first service. It's beautiful when all of us come together in this local church, local vineyard, and we do various works, whether you're singing or ushering or serving in some sort of capacity. It's a great thing. Every believer should be involved in his or her local church. That's just a fact, because many hands will make the work very, very light. But as great of a job as you may do here in a local church, the reality of it is that's not the works that you're going to bring before the King. Your attitude in it is a whole nother issue, but there is a different type of work that every believer must bring before the King when we stand before the King. I want you to keep that in mind. Let's go back to the scripture here, and I want to make sure you see this for yourself. I have a few more scriptures to read. The harvester is in waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in his grain that's ripe for eternal life. Now, the sower, if you look up at it, you'll see it there. The sower is arm in arm. Now, if you notice something, even in the Message translation here, the sower is capitalized in the midst of a sentence that it shouldn't be capital. It's kind of giving you the idea that the sower is dealing with Christ, his apostles, is really what this is about. So it's showing you and I something as it relates to our help, our insight, and I'll show this to you, but I want to make sure that you pay attention to words when you're reading scripture. Again, go back to verse 36. The harvester is in waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in his grain. That's ripe for eternal life. Now, the sower is arm in arm with the harvester. Everybody take your right hand. Put on your body, not your neighbor's body, on your own body. Put some of these married couples like, hey, no, not right now. Yeah, just wait a minute. You'll get that moment. Put your hand on your own body. Say this with me. Say, I work hand in hand with the general sower. Say with me, I am a harvester. Well, y'all sounding good in second service. I'm going to have to record y'all. Let first service hear you. All right. It says, now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester. And here's, look at the key word, triumphant. In other words, what God is going to send you to do, he's already telling you before you do it, you're going to have an attitude that you are going to triumph in it. In other words, you are already a winner before you get there. How many know that if you knew you were going to get a big prize, you respond, you do a race, you finish the whatever the cross sign is, and at the end of the game, at the end of the race, you usually have to get it, you're all excited, you're all happy. Why? Because you won the prize. Jesus said, have that attitude before you even go into it. Why? Because he's going to make you win because you are already a winner. And if you're already a winner, that means that whatever he's going to send you out to do, don't ever think you're not ever going to be able to accomplish it. You will accomplish it. You won't just accomplish it, but you're going to do it in a triumph manner. That means your hands are already going to be up before you already get there. That is part of the reason, by the way, that the believer, we come in and we worship, we lift up hands, we give God glory. Why? We are signifying to the heavens that we know what he said. He's given us power to do it, and we're about to have success. Therefore, we don't wait for the battle to be over, for the race to be over, or for the game to be over. We go in victorious way before we get into the game, knowing that the moment I get in, I'm already going to win. Come on, put those hands together, give the Lord a hand clap, and look at somebody and tell them, I'm a winner, whether you clap or not. Come on. Now, watch what it says. Go to verse 37 with me, please. That's the truth of the saying. This is Christ speaking. This one sows, that one harvests. I sent you to harvest a field. Now, come on, stay right there. Don't move the scripture. Put both hands, if you don't mind, rest your Bible and your notes on your knees there for just a moment. Will you put both hands on your body somewhere? Say with me, not only am I a harvester, say, when God looks at me, he sees a harvester. Say, I will produce because the field is already ready. All right, y'all sounding good. Go back to the scripture. I just want you to envision this. This is why I take time to do this. I want you to see this lived out. He says, I sent you, verse 38. He says, I sent you to harvest a field you've never worked. Without lifting a finger, you have walked in on a field worked long and hard by others. So in other words, I've already created the landscape. I've already done my job. What I need from you is to do your job. Look at the first group of notes. I need you to write this down. Number one, please write it down. Your works will be tested by fire. Every believer, make sure you write this down, every believer has a responsibility. Every believer has a responsibility. Every believer has a responsibility. Number three, your fruit must last. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And allow me to just for a moment to look like I'm going to be derailed here. I need to say this. A lot of us do things for the wrong reason. Some of us do things that we can be recognized by people. That's the kingdom of the world, to be celebrated by other men. In the kingdom, by the way, if you're new in the Lord, wherever you read in the scriptures, kingdom, it's the same word where we get the English word government from. The government or the kingdom of God is that we are celebrated in the realm of the heavens. So your works have to find itself collaborating with what God have already done with you and for you and in you and through you. And I'm going to read the scripture in just a moment. So again, our fruits must last. Every believer has a responsibility. And a lot of us are not utilizing this. Let me just pause one more time. Can you imagine for just a moment when I gave you Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 many, many weeks ago, here's the reality. Children in the East that was raised in this environment. This is why it starts out that these are the elementary things as it relates to scripture and that sort of thing. But until you come to a place of spiritual maturity, believers in the East raise their children with these basic doctrines from the beginning. So they always saw themselves as people that harvest, not just because they worked in an agrarian society, what you and I would call a farm type of society, but they always saw themselves as people, if they were going to be successful, they had to produce something. In the West here, in the West, God help us, we're no longer producing, we're marketing. There's a big, big difference. We're not producing anymore, we become marketers. We have Fifth Avenue slick ways to do things to make things grow. Let me tell you again, even while we're on this paradox venture here, your body being healthy doesn't mean it just gets big. Anybody can get swollen, but that doesn't mean that you're healthy. And so don't ever be deceived by numbers. Numbers will deceive you, whether it's on a scale, come on, or something else. I promise you, start working out hard enough, you go, I ain't losing weight, but your clothes are changing. Yeah, you're becoming lean. I'd rather weigh X amount of pounds lean than X amount of pounds with just fat on me. Well, it's the same spiritual application. A lot of believers think that numbers mean God. Yeah, Jesus really said the opposite. I mean, totally the opposite. If you go back and study the Gospels, Jesus said, I'm not really in the numbers. He says, narrow is the way in the way that I go. He said, broad and large is the way that a lot of people are going. This is why I keep giving you the scripture, only what you do for Christ is going to last. Every one of us are going to stand before God, and I'm quoting Romans 14 here. Every one of us are going to stand before God and give an answer of the work that we have done as to him. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, you got a work to do, whether you're doing it or not. Tell him there's a work to be done. So those are the notes, but I want to go a little further, and I want to go to the next verse as well. Now, this is going to be a little more lengthy, but we're going to look at it, and I promise we'll get through it. Go over to the same book, the book of John, the 15th chapter, and now the second verse. Now, St. John 15, and we're going to look now at verse number 2. How many are getting something from the word of the Lord? That's good. Now, we're going to look at it. We're going to read it together. It's going to be a lot. We're going to read almost probably through verse number 17. And then I'm going to go over to the message, and we're going to go through it that way as well. But I'll go through that one for you. But I want you to read along with me if you don't mind. Look at verse number 2. Hear the words of Jesus. Again, we're talking about this eternal thing that he's talking about. And we're going to talk about this in a little more depth. Look at verse 2. Come on, read with Pastor. Let's read. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and may bring it for the purpose of bringing more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Pause right there. Pause. That word pruning, please write this down real quick. In the English and in the Greek, it literally means to cut. So in order to grow, you got to bleed. I don't mean that literally, people. I'm speaking figuratively, but understand the language in which I'm using. I gave the same analogy in the first service. Anybody ever cut yourself before? Notice the first thing that happens. You bleed. Over a period of time, the blood ceases, and then there's almost a burning sensation of some sort. And then over a period of time, whatever those hours may be, it begins to grow again in that same area. A few days later, you can probably still feel the same area in which you cut, but as time goes on, you don't feel it anymore. The process is for a reason to bring you into a place of healing. So when you are doing something for the Lord, let me bring your minds back. When you're doing something for the Lord, don't be shocked if you don't bleed doing it. Be encouraged because something new is growing. And if it never grows, that means that the wound is still open and you will hemorrhage to death. Why? Because it never closed off the way that it should have closed off. Well, when God is growing us, please hear me, when God is growing us, there's a time that there's some pruning that comes with it. And when you're pruned, it means that it's going to be uncomfortable for a season. let me get real spiritual here. I want to make sure that you really get it. I said it in the first service, and I thank the Lord for giving this to me again the same way. The Bible says, and I quote the scriptures, I quote the word of the Lord. Jesus said this. He says, wherever my word is, there's also persecution. So if you and I are called to bear the word, and I mean really you carrying the word, there's going to come some persecution in your life. Are you following me here? Wherever the word is, there's persecution. Now watch this. What God often allows to happen, hear me, I didn't say he mandated, I didn't say he's the architect over it, but he allows certain things to happen for a reason. I need you to be honest. Our young people in the back, everyone look at Pastor. This is a serious moment here. Watch this. Without discussing it with anyone, every one of us know that there are areas in our lives where we're not as strong as we could be. Everybody's hand should raise. That means that you acknowledge you're not a perfect person. If your neighbor didn't lift your hand, say, and you got two things wrong, whatever it is on the inside, tell him you're a liar because you didn't lift your hands on the outside. So every one of us know that there are areas in our lives that need some help, right? So when the word comes in, guess what the word will do? The word will challenge you in that area. Follow me. It's going to get really hot in here on this one. So what God allows to happen in order to grow us by cutting the weeds off of us, he will allow the thing that seemingly is close to us to be cut. Now we're challenged to either get stronger or we'll continue to succumb to failure. Let's go a little further. I want you to see this. Jesus then gives us an insight. He puts it this way. He says, wherever your heart is, that's also where your treasures are. Have you ever noticed, talk back to me, have you ever noticed that when you're challenged in your finance, it seems to be a bit more difficult than a whole lot of areas? You know why? God will allow where your treasure is to be challenged. So if he can get your attention, he doesn't mind blowing on your finance just for a minute. That way it's going to force you to find yourself seeking him when normally you never would have sought him. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm telling the truth. If you're having trouble, you have no problem praying. Because you're paying to pray. Why? Because he's dealing with what's close to your heart. Some people can't acknowledge it until they face it. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment in the word. Come on, let's go back to the scripture here. I love the way it reads. Forgive me, but I want you to make sure you're getting the word in here because I'm going to take you on a ride. And it's going to help some of you. Go back to the scripture here in verse number 3. Now, you're clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you. Come on, read with me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Now, watch this. I didn't say this in the first service, but and I don't want to stay here too long. But notice part of the judgment here. God says, when you're not abiding in me, when you're not doing my work, notice this. This is powerful. He never said he did it. He says, when you're not producing, he said, I'm going to allow men to gather you. You're going to be gathered together, and you're going to be thrown out among their firewood. In other words, God is even showing mercy in this judgment, isn't he? It's really the same thing with David. I love the way David puts it. David said, no, God, I'd rather you judge me than folk. Because if they judge me, they're going to end me. But if you judge me, your mercy is going to come into this thing here. So God says at times, and I hope y'all caught that, at times when you're not producing fruit, then people will gather you and burn you alive. Not literally speaking, I think you catch the drift here. So when people are against you, sometimes that is the way that God is allowing certain things to come into your life for the purpose that you can realize that man is not your answer, but God is your answer. Put your hands together if you know God is your answer, man's not your answer. Tell your neighbor, I'd rather fall into the hands of an angry God than a bunch of angry folk. Because it could be his mercy that'll keep me in the midst of anger. All right, let's go a little further here in the scripture. I'm trying to hurry. Go with me here to verse number 6. I want you to see this. Come on, read with me. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth where? As a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Stop. Isn't it amazing? We only read that portion of the scripture. We tell people to get a word. In other words, hey, whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, God's going to do it. Stop. Pause. Time out. You got to read the whole thing, people. Listen, listen, please write this down before I go any further. If you're not producing fruit, you can't get to that verse right there. Well, I'm just asking anything the Father in Jesus' name. Listen, unless you the truth and Jesus is a liar. Jesus is the one who said, he said, if you want to ask something in my name, he said, you got to produce some fruit. Why? Because that ties into being connected to the branch or to the vine. If you're not producing what he's putting in you and you're asking him something, some of us are living on mercies, but we don't live in the confidence of receiving. Can I take y'all on a ride here for just a moment? How many, come on, I need your honesty here. How many know that if you needed something to eat, your neighbor thanked God for them, which give you something? And I don't mean your neighbor as in maybe your physical neighbor, but the neighbor sitting. As a matter of fact, grab someone by the hand, please. Tell them if I'm hungry and I have nothing to eat, tell them I sure enough hope I can come to your house and get some of them wings that Sister G made. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go there. How many know it wouldn't be nothing wrong with that? But watch this. How many would rather have your own wings? Let me go a little further. Have you ever had to borrow a car, rent a car? How many thank God for the rental or the borrowing? But how many know it's a whole lot better when you got your own car? That's the difference in the mercy and then having what God wants you to have. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, but it is more blessed to give. So how does God see us? He sees us as the ability to give. So if we're more blessed in doing it, it gives us the insight, then God have given you so much, you have an abundance that you can give outside of what you yourself have need of. Follow me. We cannot take that scripture, people, and pray. See, we all know the motto of pray. How do you pray? You pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and then we go down the list of the stuff we want. You better read the rest of the scripture. It says, if you are not producing fruit. I know this is difficult for some of you because most people, and again, our young people in the back, so bear with me. Most people don't even realize that you are not a harvester. Well, where am I to harvest at, Pastor? I don't want y'all to get this twisted. I'm not talking about coming down here, joining an organization that goes out on a Saturday and goes out to the projects to witness to people. It's nothing wrong with that. But your harvest is where you work at. Your harvest is where you socialize at. Your harvest is in your family from other unbelievers that don't know who your God is. And if you're not being a harvester, you're not producing. I'll go a little further. It's easy to criticize other people until you yourself have to produce something. I said it in the first service. You may hate things I believe in. I know this. I know when you're in need. I know who you call. I hate his politics. Yeah, but I produce fruit. Therefore, I'm connected. Therefore, I'm getting the answer that you have need of. That's why we're seeing cancers die in this place. That's why we're seeing demons come out in this place. That is the reason why we're seeing miracles in this place. Why? Because when you are a fruit producer, you have access to the heavens and you go. Why do you think Paul tells the people, when you have need, go boldly before the throne of grace? If you're not producing anything, you're not quick to go boldly before God. Because you'll find and you'll feel that you're unqualified to go there. That's why a lot of us go, I'm not going to pray for that. I just don't feel like I'm really qualified. I'm not qualified either, but I know who qualifies me. I may not be the perfect, but I know this. I know I'm producing fruit. And if I can keep producing fruit, I'm going to have confidence to be able to go to the heavens, not just for me, but for you. That's why when the winds and the storms come in our lives and we're producing fruit, then we can go to that scripture and ask the Father anything. Have you ever had a need of finances in your life? And you can pray and cry all you want. It will not change your broke self. But if I can get you to stand on the word and produce where you are, you know what? In spite of what you're going through, you will begin to look to the heavens and say, wait a minute. I know, God, you're not in this, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. I'm a fruit producing, harvesting man or woman of God. And I know that God is going to answer this prayer, not because of my righteous, but because I'm connected to him and he is the righteous one. So we're not producing, and I'll go further. Most of us that have been in church for years, don't look at me with that tone of voice. Most of us that have been in church for years have never brought anybody to the salvation of Jesus Christ. When I brought them to church, I didn't say bring them to church. I said, you bring them to the Lord. When is the last time you produced fruit right where you were and led someone to the Lord right on the spot? See, if you can't say amen, touch your neighbor and say, ouch. Come on. Do I need to come down and ask, have you produced? Because I can come down if you like me to come down. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Yeah, I thought you're out there. Yeah. See, but here's the problem with you ouchers. Unless you change, that scripture, see, this all goes under the umbrella of the doctrine of eternal judgment. See, when we stand before the Lord, what will you be able to bring before him? I have a sneaky feeling. Some of us can't produce because we do and we act the same way that those around us do and act. I'm just thinking out loud. If every time you see them, you're doing all that they do, how are you going to win them? Well, Pastor, I have problems. Paul said, have them to yourself. Take your problems home. Don't. You can't go to your jobs and in your family people. And I'm just being real. That ain't time for you to be that real. You need to be real around another group of believers that can help you from that condition. Because your job is to be a harvester. Hear me. Well, I just work in a place of all believers. Let me prophesy. You're in the wrong place. Because you're the light of the world. Why would God send his light to other light to just hang out? There's a time that we come together and we worship and we do those kinds of things. But you touch somebody and tell them, you're the light. Come on. So Jesus said, take your light over into some dark places. That way those that are in darkness can see the way. In Christ in you is the way. So if you're not producing that, guess what? Then you're not living out who you really are. And you're wondering why your prayers are not being answered. Oh, put your heads down for just a moment and say, God, help me in this place. Tell him I got to change. Come on. Say it again. Say, I got to change. Come on and go with me a little further. I want you to see this. And I know this is going to bother some of you because that's going to make you identify with Jesus where you go. And some of y'all may not really want to identify too much with Jesus publicly because somebody may look at you and go, really? For real? Are you serious? How many know all of us have challenges in our lives? Come on. But that's not for the world to see, people. The truth of the matter, if we stayed in the scripture, that's for other believers. You know, the Bible does say, hey, confess where you got some areas in your life at that you can be healed, that you can pray for and be healed one of another. When I struggle with things, oh, sure I do. I go to some folk. Say, hey, man, I'm struggling. I want to go over and kill him. I want to kill him. I want to kill him. Pray for me, because if not, I'm going to kill him for real. No, y'all laughing. I'm serious. Y'all like, oh, he's so funny. No, I'm serious. Will you tell your neighbor, I think he's serious, people. I got some jacked up issues sometimes. And I need prayer for real, for real. And I will call a group of friends that I love. See, some of you religious folk can't handle this right now. I can't believe he's confessing. You need to confess, you full of pride. Because if you sit there in that tone of voice looking at me like you ain't got no issue, you got two that I know. One, you're crazy, and the other, you're lying. Because everybody in here goes through some. I can look at some of you couples and know when you're going through stuff in your home. You can come in and smile, hey. Hey, boo, how you doing? You just cursed that girl out last night. So don't boo her right now. Some of y'all stingy in love-making department, don't look at me funny. You use it to get your way, you little witch. Well, you're manipulating. I ain't giving him no loving until he mops the floor. You control freak. That's one of your problems right there. So don't look at me like I'm the only one in here by myself. Give someone a high five and tell him he's telling the truth, whether you admit it or not. Some of y'all won't help clean a house. Oh, I'm walking in here today. And then get mad. Look at her house. Show us. You can have a nice house. Clean it, for God's sake. You mad everybody else? Bless, he got a new boyfriend. She always gets a man. Girl, you know she's getting it. She must be putting out. You put out and don't get it. Why not just get yourself together? Why are you looking at me? I'm just telling you what. See, you're not honest enough to be honest. Some of y'all don't know to chew or just throw up right now. Here's the reality. You need to be producing fruit instead of majoring on silly stuff. Well, you're looking, just grab someone by the hand and tell them you need a life. You need to get one and tell them you'll get one without having one with me. Come on. Well, some of you know what? Some of y'all need to just stop.
I can't believe he said that. I'm stuck on what he just said.
Isn't it funny when people tell you the truth, you get stuck? What do y'all think these folk in here doing? You know some of y'all got struggles. Some of y'all are this close to being borderline alcoholics and won't even admit it.
I'm not a, excuse me, drunk. I just have a certain drink every once in a while.
I can look at some of your fingers. You've got burnt. You're smoking dope. In Jesus' name, you need to cast the devil out of your mind. God ain't in all that crazy. Your hands look like little roaches. Some of y'all don't even shake hands with people anymore. Hey, how you doing? Some of you act like you got nubs. Hey. Come on. I'm a pastor. I look at all this stuff. I can ask some of you how you are doing. Yeah, I'm doing fine. And some of y'all are just professional church people. You know, all the professional language that church people know. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Highly blessed of the Lord. Highly. Oh, ba, 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 ba. Don't talk in tongues to me. Talk English to me. I'm not here to interpret your tongue. Are you listening to me? People of God, you must become fruit producers. And if every area of your life you're not producing fruit, you're not doing the will of God. Therefore, when you stand before God, the works that every one of us are going to have to bring, your works are going to burn up. I'm trying to help you get some works that you can present to God. And way before you get to heaven on earth, you can ask whatever you will and he'll do it in the name of Jesus. How many need Jesus to do some stuff? Touch two people and tell them you got to start producing fruit, baby. Some of y'all have, well, Pastor, I'm not going out to witness. You have Facebook. I just messed up some of you. Because the only thing you want on your Facebook is your fake lips things.
Y'all are freaking me out with this stuff. Y'all take the perfect photos and Photoshop them to death. I look at some of you, I don't even know it's you. Oh, he looks, oh, I'm looking at y'all. You got your lips sucked in, your eyes popped out. What are you, a Kim Kardashian moment or something? Have you ever considered using your Facebook to become a pastor of your city? Have you ever decided, you know what? 2018, doggone, and I'm still in the month of January. I'm going to be, whatever area I've struggled in, I'm going to be a pastor in that area to others that I know that are struggling as well. Well, I don't want nobody to know what I'm doing. We already know. Do you really think? How many have been children in here? Come on, that should be everyone. That's a trick question. Did your parents ever do things that they didn't think that you knew? Come on. You knew things about your parents that they didn't know that you knew for a long time. Come on, everybody can say amen. What do you think your kids do? You think you done hit everything because they're not articulating? Mom, Dad, want to sit down. Want to have a discussion with you. 2 months ago when you were on the phone doing blah, 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 I realized that your body changed. Therefore, you must have not been. How many know they figured it out like you figured it out? So then why not be real enough with yourself to take those areas where the enemy is beating you to death in and say, you know what? I'm going to be a fruit producer in the very area in which I lost in, and I'm going to snatch a whole generation of people, and I'm going to have fruit to be able to bring before God. Now, I got to say this before I read the rest of the scripture. If you've struggled with drinking, I don't recommend right away that you believe that God sends you into the bar to have a bar ministry. Wait until you get delivered. Touch your neighbor and say, that's for this road down here. All right? Let them deliver you a little bit. You know, I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time, and I've had tremendous success in doing it. If I just wanted to do it a certain kind of way for the outside, man, please, you all wouldn't be able to get in here on any service. We have 5 services here. I'm not interested. I want to do work for the Lord, and I want to build some warriors. I like the way the book of Acts said it, and these 12 men turned the world upside down. I believe I can take us several hundred here in both services. I believe we can take a nation. I said, I believe we can take a nation. I'll say it again. I believe we can take a nation. I believe that God can raise you up and take you from nowhere and, if necessary, put you in the White House. But you have to have his perspective. His perspective is, are you bearing fruit? Touch 2 people and just ask them the question, how many people have you won to the Lord since you've known him? No, don't look away. Wait for them to answer. Yeah, I didn't think so. All right, let's go a little further. I gotta finish. Go to verse 7. Go to verse 7. I'll get you out. I promise, tomorrow. All right, here we go. If you abide in me, look at verse 7. If you abide in me, come on, just read it real quick with me. And my words abide in you, you'll do what? Come on, let's go back to it to the top. Everyone read with me. Read. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what? Whatever you will, and what is going to happen? Come on, read. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved us, so have I loved you. Continue you in my word. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go, there it is, and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I commanded you, that you love one another. Go with me to the second verse in the Message translation. I'm going to read this very quickly for you. I want you to follow me, though. Look at the Message translation. Same thing that we just read. And I want you to see this. Let your eyes be fixed on the screens, please. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned by my message I have spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you join with me and I in you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. If you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I love you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's command and made my home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I love you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I commanded you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and I put you in the world. Here it is. Here's your purpose. Here's why you're here, G2G. This is why the Lord has saved you. I've put you in this world to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. How do you get it? If you are a fruit bearer. If you are a fruit bearer, whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he gives it. Let me read it again. If you are a fruit bearer, whatever you ask. I have a lot of needs, Pastor. If you are a fruit bearer, whatever you ask the Lord in Jesus' name, he will give it to you. But I have a lot of financial problems. If you are a fruit bearer, whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it to you. I'm lonely. I want a man. I want a woman. If you are a fruit bearer, whatever you ask the Lord in Jesus' name, that will he give it to you. God will give you what you're looking for, but you got to be willing to bear it. Let me ask you a question while you're standing. How well has it worked out for you not being a fruit bearer? Then why not change? While you're standing, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's honestly go before the Lord and let's be really sincere about this. You got to be honest to get somewhere. You know, if you pretend you don't hurt and you go to a doctor, she or he can't fix you in the area that you're not willing to disclose that hurt actually resides in. So while you're standing, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, our young people are in the back and our teenagers are in the back this morning. So I'm going to challenge you as adults here, whether you're a young adult or an older adult, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, I believe over 2,000 years ago,
Christ died. 3 days later, he was resurrected. I still believe he still has power to resurrect me from my dead life. Say this with me while your eyes are closed. That I've tried it my way, everything my way. And if I'm honest with myself, it hasn't turned out the way I would have desired. Say with me, therefore, I give my life to you, not just on Sundays, but every day. Help me as I bear fruit. I will then have confidence that whatever I ask of you, you will grant it to me. Say, I surrender my life to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you put your hands together, give the Lord a hand clap?
We hope this message has been a blessing in your life. To hear more inspiring, transformative messages, visit glorytoglory.org and make sure you follow and like us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.